Cape Talk.
Call 021 446 0567.
This coming Thursday is World Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Day. It's marked every year on the ninth day of the ninth month to symbolize the 9 months of pregnancy and used to highlight the dangers of alcohol exposure during pregnancy. We've done multiple interviews on this subject on the show over the years. I hope by now you know that fetal exposure to alcohol can result in severe physical and intellectual disabilities, leaving some children in need of lifelong care. And you probably also know that South Africa has the unenviable title of being the FAS capital of the world. The Western Cape is one of the worst affected provinces within South Africa. So for many reasons, but those primarily, we continue to highlight this issue. And today I'm interested in finding out whether the COVID-19 lockdowns have had any impact on FAS rates and specifically the multiple bans on the sale of alcohol. It may well be too early to speak with any statistical knowledge of that fact, but I think there is a conversation to be had about what we've learned about ourselves and our relationship with alcohol over the last 15 to 18 months. With me on the line is a researcher who has devoted years of her life to the study of FAS. Dr. Liana Olifir is the CEO of the Foundation for Alcohol-Related Research. Now, they're an NGO working to curb rates of fetal alcohol spectrum disorder and have been doing so since the very first proper studies of the condition began to take shape, which was back in the late 1990s. Liana, it's great to have you on the show again. Welcome back.
Thank you, Pippa. It's lovely to be on your show again.
Thank you. Before we talk about the impact of lockdown, let's just frame the conversation with some stats. Liana, the World Health Organization estimates that the global prevalence of fetal alcohol spectrum disorder is approximately 15 cases per 1,000 live births. That's 1.5%. Remind us what the estimated figure is for South Africa. It's a very, very much more serious figure.
Yes. Sadly, as you correctly said, wearing the crown for the FASD capital in the world. Our rates in South Africa in some of the communities are 14 times higher than the rest of the world. So there are communities in the Northern Cape where the prevalence rate is as high as 28%, and then in the Western Cape as high as 25%. So it's alarming figures that we're talking about, and then the other provinces follow. So it is a huge problem in South Africa and an indication of our unhealthy relationship with alcohol.
Liana, I'm sure there will be people going, 25% of births in this province, how is that even possible? But not all those 250 cases of 1,000 births are going to be the most severe end of the spectrum with the unmistakable physical and intellectual signs. That's part of the problem, isn't it? That some of those cases won't even have been noticed and documented.
Exactly. And just keep in mind that it's not a rate for the Western Cape province, but it's in certain areas where we've done the research. So yes, the interesting or sad thing about FASD, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, is that quite often a person might suffer from the side effects of prenatal alcohol exposure for life, not being detected at all, being labeled as, you know, a child being naughty or not being able to pay attention or being hyperactive, etc., etc. So, because it's a very complicated condition to diagnose properly. You need a diagnosis from a trained doctor, psychologists need to do specific tests, and then, of course, an in-depth interview with the biological mum, and then to match all the findings to make this confirmed diagnosis. So it is a complicated diagnosis, and people suffer for life if they've not been properly diagnosed.
Okay, thanks. It's a very grim background, but I think important to know the seriousness of what we're talking about. Now, Liana, it's probably, I would guess, too early for us to have anything like substantial traceable data on the impact of lockdown and the alcohol bans on FAS. There's by nature going to be a delay, but still, I'm guessing you must have observations on what you've observed about our relationship with alcohol in the last 15 months, because there's been a lot of pushback against those lockdowns, and they weren't only people working in the industry pushing back for reasons of their economic situation, were they?
Yes, but I'm one of those people who always try to see a positive thing in even in the gloomest of times. And for me, what was positive is during this the periods that we had alcohol ban a ban on the sale of alcohol and the lockdown periods, everybody was aware of alcohol and everybody had an opinion. So at least we started talking about it. We also know that we couldn't find yeast to buy. So we can now stop pointing fingers at them who are doing homebrewed beer, because some of us also started brewing and pineapple beer, etc. But it just indicates that people were looking for something to drink, and unfortunately, the ban on alcohol sales did not mean that alcohol was not available. So we know from our research that on average, for every 100 rand that we spend in South Africa, 16 rand is spent on alcohol sales, on the buying of alcohol. So if you're not spending your 16 rand, I might be spending it on your behalf. So what our clients told us is that in some areas it was difficult to buy alcohol, but in other areas not that difficult, but certainly the prices were higher, especially at the illegal liquor outlets. But people continued to drink, especially those who needed the drink. And then we also need to keep in mind that this has been and still is, extremely stressful time. Lots of people lost their jobs. There's the level of hopelessness in some communities is on the increase, and those are all factors which motivates people or drive people to alcohol abuse and alcoholism. In that case, so people were people, as they've reported to us in our clients in our studies, they quite often use alcohol as a type of self-medication. So yes, we are expecting that in some areas there will be an increase on children born with FASD, but we won't be able to say that now. Unfortunately, we will only feel the impact actually when these children go to school, and we will see that in, say, maybe 6 years' time. Sure. Certainly on areas that we are working, we have given extra support to our clients, and our clients needed that.
Sure. I mean, that's absolutely fascinating, because, of course, you would expect the knee-jerk response would be, what is, if alcohol is banned, then surely you would expect to see FAS rates going down. You've just made a very compelling case as to why the opposite may happen. Liana, it's a difficult conversation to have with somebody who is a moderate drinker or only consumes alcohol occasionally or in a very responsible fashion. They will say, you can't keep the liquor stores closed. There are livelihoods dependent on them, and I should be allowed as a moderate and responsible drinker to be able to enjoy a glass of wine with a good meal. Many of us, I would like to think, see ourselves that way and are capable of managing and moderating and being responsible about how much we drink and how we behave thereafter. How big a challenge are we to your work trying to deal with those who are really struggling, who are not able to moderate their consumption?
It's very important what you're saying, Pippa, because not all South Africans are abusing alcohol. So it's about 45% of the people who are drinking alcohol who are abusing alcohol or who are going overboard. But they are doing it in seriously. So for us who are practicing responsible alcohol use, it is important to know that not everybody's got the freedom to have a good relationship with alcohol. So there are some people who are it's best for them just not to drink, and we know that. So instead of blaming and stigmatizing people, instead of pointing fingers, the important thing is to look out in your immediate circle of friends and family or so for those people who need support, and support them in ways that, like, if you're having we're not entertaining that much, or like we used to do, but if you've got people over for a braai or a supper or whatever, make sure that you've got non-alcoholic drinks available, because so often you attend events where there's only alcohol to be taken. So little things like that. It is recommended by the World Health Organization that we have 3 alcohol free days per week. So although there are people who they've got responsible drinking practices and they're very aware of what they're drinking, it might be even for them hard to have 3 alcohol-free days per week. So I think the level of awareness of our engagements ourselves, those of us who are using alcohol, is very important. So that brings you closer to an understanding with people who's got a problem with alcohol use and abuse. And also, again, by the even small amounts of alcohol during pregnancy can cause harm to the unborn baby. So you don't need to be an alcoholic or a heavy drinker.
That's really important to emphasize. For those who joined us late to the conversation, my guest on the line with us this afternoon is Dr. Liana Orofia, who's the CEO of the Foundation for Alcohol-Related Research. We're having a conversation ahead of Thursday's World Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Day. Liana, in the years since the late 1990s that you've been conducting research, I know you've done at least 14 prevalent studies in various regions trying to trace just how bad the issue is. Have you yet got to the point where you're doing repeat studies and tracing the changes over time? Do you want to give us a sense of what you're working on now, for example?
What we are doing in an area where we work, and by the way, we only work on invitation, so it's when we go into an area and we start working, we've got no idea what the FASD prevalence rate will be. So it's a surprise to us as well. Yeah. So what we are doing, as soon as we start with a prevalence study, we also start with prevention programs. So we've got a program called the Healthy Mother, Healthy Baby program, where we invite all pregnant women, whether they're drinking or not, because we also dealing with things like gender-based violence, etc., into the program. And we need the women who are not drinking alcohol during their pregnancies also to support the women who are drinking. So we have those support programs and a whole series of interventions that we put the women through until their babies are born. And then when the babies are 9 months of age, we examine the babies and then to see what the impact was of the program and so. So in the areas that we're working, it's a wonderful way of checking what is the incidence of the FASD now, how many babies are being born in the area now, so that you can see what the impact you are doing with your programs now and what is needed in the community. You know, we've got this wonderful saying in Africa, you need a village to raise a child. I always say you need a village to stand together to prevent the child from being born with FASD. So in our programs, we also work very closely with the partners, the friends, the family members, because peer group pressure is a big issue, and also the community at large, the employers, etc., so that we can create a safe network instead of, you know, naming and blaming and shaming. So in areas that we've worked, and some of the areas we've worked now for 20 years, and I don't want to name the specific area where we're working, but it's in the middle of the Karoo, where some people might know, where there was a very high prevalence rate, where we hardly see babies born with FASD nowadays.
Fantastic.
I'm not saying the community is not abusing alcohol, but at least they're standing together to protect the pregnant woman not to use alcohol during pregnancy.
A really positive note on which to end the interview. Thank you so much, Dr. Orofia, for joining us, the CEO of the Foundation for Alcohol-Related Research, and just goes to show what can be achieved when concerted efforts are made to address this scourge. Thursday is the actual FAS World Day, and there are various events underway. If you're interested in finding out how to be part of those, do check out FAR's website, farrsa.org.za.